السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers, over the past few Jumu'ahs, except of course when I was out, we have been discussing one incident in the life of Hazrat Hatim Asam and Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Ali. But because it is very relevant to each and every one of us, it is something that gives us lessons. Therefore we are discussing it in some detail. For the benefit of those who may not have been here, just to recap one or two of the points that we have discussed. Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Ali had been associating with Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Ali for almost 33 years. Now 33 years is a very, very long time to be in the company or to associate with somebody that is pious, righteous, a great alim, a muhaddis, a mufassir, a great wali of Allah Ta'ala. So when he asked him that in your 33 years, what have you really learnt? He said, only 8 lessons I've learnt. So he was very shocked and he said, 8 lessons in 33 years, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. In other words, you wasted my time, your time, what did you do 33 years? So in any case, now that you are going, what is it that you learnt? So the first point that he mentioned that I noticed that everybody in this world has got love for something or the other, or for someone or the other. But whatever it is that we have love for, or whoever it is that we have love for, they do not remain all the time. That person will either depart, he will leave this world and go away into his qabr, or this person will leave this world and go away. So either the person who is loving will go away or the person that is beloved will go away. So he said, therefore I decided to make my beloved good deeds. And I explained this in detail, that good deeds does not then mean just sitting and reading tasbih, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. He said, because I wanted something to accompany me in the grave and in the hereafter, and the only thing that accompanies a person is his deeds. So he says, I made my friend or my beloved good deeds. So now good deeds is everything. The person's fulfillment of the rights of his wife, of his children, of his family. The person's dealing honestly in his business. The person's performance of his salat, giving of zakat, fasting in Ramadan, going for hajj. In other words, the whole of deen, whatever he does in accordance with the Quran and the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that is good deed. So he says, that is what I made the beloved of my life. He said, mashallah, what a beautiful lesson you learnt. Because that is something that will accompany the person. That is what will light up the grave of a person. That is what will give that person some kind of companionship in the grave. So therefore he says, I made my beloved good deeds. Now we discussed this to some extent. Then he says, I noticed that people in this world, they are always proud about something or the other. This whole business of superiority complex comes when a person has got a lot of wealth, or the person is handsome, the woman is beautiful, or the person has got some other expertise, some skill, some knowledge, something or the other that the person possesses. Or the person will brag about his family status. I come from a certain family. That person will say, I come from a certain village. That person will say, I come from a certain country. So he says, I notice all these type of things. Whereas Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not look at your wealth. He does not look at your properties. He does not look at your faces. He does not look at your family status. What Allah ta'ala looks at is how much of taqwa you have got. how much of piety you have got. Because I came across the verse of the Quran Sharif, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The noble person in the eye of Allah, the one who is held in esteem, is the one who has got the greatest degree of taqwa. So he said, therefore I adopted taqwa in every aspect of my life. Conscious that Allah Ta'ala is watching my movements, my actions, my deeds, that is taqwa. That the person restrains himself from everything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Conscious of the fact that Allah Ta'ala is watching him and he is accountable, he is answerable. So he says, I adopted taqwa. Jis jahan mein rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Wherever I am, whether I am on the ground or whether I am in the air, in the aeroplane, at the airport, railway station, in my home, in my business, in my college, in my university, wherever I am, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. That I must be conscious that my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. So he said, mashallah, again I've explained this in some detail with different examples. He said, mashallah, alhamdulillah, ahsanta, wonderful lesson you have learnt. Then he said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ayat of the Quran Sharif, I came across with regards to fear of presenting oneself on the day of judgment before Allah ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. The person who feared standing before Allah on the day of judgment and accounting for his deeds. There is that khawf in the heart of the people who have got love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on the day of judgment we must not be embarrassed. No shame, no humiliation and disgrace must come upon us. In the presence of billions of ummatis, the person will be tested. So the person who feared standing before Allah on the day of judgment, and because of that he restrained himself from everything that was haram and forbidden. There is no other way that a person can become a wali of Allah Ta'ala except by giving up that which is haram, which is forbidden. It's not how much of wazifas we read or how much of tilawat we make or how much of tahajjud we make or ishraq and chasht we make or how much of charities and donations we give. For all those things the person will get sawab. But that is like eating plenty of good food. Plenty of good food. Healthy foods. And taking vitamin tablets also on top of that. He does all those things. But then he drinks half a bottle of poison. What's going to happen? So good deeds, the person will get sawab. But to become a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person will have to restrain himself from that which is haram, which is forbidden, which is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore he says, I restrain myself. Because Allah ta'ala says, the person who restrains himself from evil passions and desires, then his abode will be Jannat. Now this also we discussed to some extent. Then he says that, once again I saw that whatever is in the possession of a person, it will vanish, it will disappear, it will exhaust, it will deplete. Whatever meaning you want to give for the word, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُوا وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Whatever you have in your possession, it will deplete, exhaust, finish. It will never remain forever and ever. The person's health will not remain the same. The person's age does not remain the same. Every second there's a change in his age. And as the years go by, then kamar jukkar misle kamani hui. Koi nana hua, koi nani hui. Say, kamar jukkar misle kamani hui, koi nana hua, koi nani hui. Aur balo pe ghalib safedi hui, koi dada hua, koi dadi hui. That's what will happen. After some time, when age catches up, the person's back will bend like a bow. Somebody will become a nana, somebody will become a nani. And then the hair of the head will turn white, the hair of the beard will turn white. Koi dada hua, koi dadi hui. Grandmother and grandfather. And yet they were at one time, in their youth, in the prime of their life, people were talking about their beauty, and people were talking about their strength and their health. Muhammad Ali Clay, this one uppercut on the lower jaw, and the person is flattened. But when age catches up, nothing. Look at the surgeon. How many incidents there are? The one who does the first heart transplant, Chris Barnard. But afterwards the time comes when his hands, he cannot even hold this blade in the hand. This will happen. Age will catch up. So he says, I saw the ayat of the Quran Sharif, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Whatever the person possesses, whether it is wealth, whether it is health, knowledge, anything, sooner or later it will go. The only thing that will remain is that which is with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says, therefore, whatever I found to be of great value, what I consider to be my great asset, then I tried to store it in the bank of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Send it ahead. The person makes use of his wealth, his health, his time, and everything that is precious. He makes use of it in such a way that he is making investments in the bank of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One Arab brother in Makkah Mukarrama, he was going on and on that this property belongs to me, that property belongs to me, and this is worth so many millions of riyals, and that is worth so much, and I've made investment here, and I've made investment there, and I've made investment around the world in this and in that. I said, nothing wrong, a good Muslim, if he invests his money and he's getting good returns and he's using it in the right way, then we are happy, we are not jealous. But then I told him that I too, alhamdulillah, have made some investments here in Makkah Sharif. So he got very surprised. He must have thought that Maulana also is in big business here. He must have come with a lot of dollars for investment. So very shocked he was that I've made. I said, no, a lot of investment I've made in Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif. So I said, where have you made the investment? I said, at the Multazam, at the Rosa Mubarak, in Masjid-e-Nabawi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the Mataf, at Hajr-e-Aswad, at Maqam-e-Ibrahim, Safa and Marwa, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa, so much of investment we have made, but now the returns, we are hoping Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accepts, and our return is not going to be just a couple riyal, 100,000 times for one subhanallah that we have said there, 100,000 namaz sawab for one namaz that we make there, 100,000 sawab for one rand that the person spends there. So I said, we have made a lot of investment too. I ask you that must make dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts those investments. So whatever the person sends ahead, that is his investment. Then he says that I noticed that people are jealous. They are very, very jealous of anything that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to another person. Then there's a lot of jealousy. If somebody reads beautiful, there's jealousy. If somebody has got a good business, there's jealousy. Somebody has got a pretty wife, the person is jealous that my wife is not pretty like that. Somebody has got a good car, the person is jealous. He's got a good home, the person is jealous. He says, I notice people are jealous. When I looked at the Quran Sharif, in the Quran Sharif I came across the verse in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In other words, this distribution of wealth, or whatever distribution takes place with regards to a person's livelihood, his beauty, whatever the person possesses, whether the person has become an alim or a doctor or a teacher or a lawyer or a philosopher, whatever he has become, in whatever he possesses, it's a distribution that Allah Ta'ala has made. And no one has got any right to interfere in that distribution. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was not going to have a parliamentary meeting first, or have a cabinet meeting and invite all of us and then make a decision that what should be the allocation with regards to the different provinces. How much they must be given in the budget. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there's no question of budget distribution in making mashwara with people. Whatever Allah Ta'ala willed and whatever He desired, that is what will be the outcome. So He says, I notice that people are jealous. Whereas if you look at the Quran Sharif, so many verses with regards to the children or the brothers of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, why did they put him into the well? Why did they want to get rid of him? Jealousy. The Yahud, why didn't they want to accept Islam? Jealousy. And yet they knew Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Better than their own fathers, they knew him. And so many ayat, there's no time to go into detailed discussion of that today. But and then if you look into the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there's so many there with regards to jealousy. The person who is jealous, he is burning up himself. If he has no other punishment and no other azab from Allah Ta'ala, then that azab and that punishment is sufficient that he is burning himself up all the time. A beautiful example, as Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali gives, that it is like a person who is taking a big stone to knock off the head of his enemy. And when he takes that stone and he hits, then that stone goes and knocks against the wall, and first it comes and takes his, knocks his right eye off. Then again, in anger, now his anger is increasing. So he takes the stone and throws again. Now what happens, it hits again and he takes off his second eye, left eye. So now the anger is increasing even more, that I'm trying to hit the enemy, that it's knocking me. Boomeranging, it's coming back onto me, the stone. So now in that anger, now when he hits again, it comes and cracks his skull. And he carries on like that. In other words, Shaitan is standing and laughing. That enemy is standing and laughing. That this person is trying to knock me down, but he is getting knocked down all the time. So that is the example of the person who is jealous and envious, that he's knocking himself down. He's not knocking down anybody else, because that person will get what Allah Ta'ala has destined for him. Therefore, that beautiful couplet again comes to mind of Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, which I have said many times in my bayans, with regards to hasad. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? By means of your jealousy, why are you going in the direction of the fire of Jahannam? Are you unhappy and unpleased or displeased with the distribution that Allah Ta'ala Himself has undertaken? Why are you rubbing your hands in regret that, hi, I didn't get, hi, I didn't get? Jealousy is where the person wants a destruction of that which is in the hands of that other person. But where there's just a desire that, Ya Allah, give me also good wealth, give me also good health, give me also the best of this world and the akhirat, there's nothing wrong with that. لا حسد إلا على إثنين. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that is ghibta, where the person is desirous, that the person has got plenty of wealth and is distributing and is spending in the correct way, then Ya Allah, give me also, bless me also with that, so that I too can do the same. Or the person is reciting the Quran Sharif, propagating the Quran Sharif, teaching the Quran Sharif, the person is now expressing a wish and a desire that I too should be like that. Or somebody is pious and righteous and God-fearing. Or anybody that's doing any good work. Or even if a person has got good health and the person is desirous, Ya Allah, give him also good health and bless me also with good health. So that is not jealousy. But where the person is jealous, he does not want that person to prosper. He does not want that person to progress. He wants a destruction of that which Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. So then he is proceeding in the direction of Jahannam. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in the shade of the throne of Allah ta'ala, he sees a person. So he says, Ya Allah, what is the name of this person? And what is it that brought him so high in stages that he is blessed with this kind of ni'mat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why are you worried about his name? Don't worry about the name. But I inform you of what is it that brought him here. What is it that gave him these type of stages in life? So these stages in life he got because he was not jealous and envious of what I have blessed people with. That hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which again you may have heard 120 times, which I have discussed many times, but if it comes to mind at this moment, then I will repeat it. Where the person was, when the sahabas were told that very soon a person will walk past here, that person is a jannati, he will be in paradise. So they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they waited. A person came, and what he had in his hand was his shoes, and wuzu water was dripping from his beard, and he walked past. A simple, ordinary person, not somebody that was very prominent. The second day, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam repeated the same thing. A person will pass by and is a jannati. And in the same condition he passed by. The third day he repeated the same thing. So as Abdullah says that wanted to know that who this person is, what is he doing, what is that special deed of his that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that he is a jannati. If you want to see a person of jannat, then look at him. And yet he looks like an ordinary sahabi. So he made an excuse to go and sleep at his home. They had simple homes there. If visitors came sometime, then the men folk went and slept with the visitor in the other room. So they shared the room. So he noticed that he made his Isha Salat, and after that he made some zikr and went to sleep. Nothing unusual. He didn't get up and stay awake from right 2 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock also, nothing of that sort. And then he got up, Fajr time, and he made his Salat. But the only thing he said, I noticed that every time that he took a right turn or a left turn, then he always made some zikr. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, some zikr he made. That's about all. So he says, I didn't consider this something very unique. So then I was leaving there, then I told him why I had come and spent the 3 nights with him. So he said, no, that's all. What you are seeing in my action, that's about all that I have. However, there is one thing, and that is that when Allah Ta'ala blesses anybody with any ni'mat, with any bounty, then I'm not jealous and envious. He says, yes, that's the thing. Because namaz everybody was making, zikr everybody was making, tilawat everyone was making. They were not like us that somebody was making one namaz, somebody two namazes, somebody no namazes. He was amongst those who were doing everything. So he says, yes, that's it, which is very difficult. But it won't be difficult if we believe and truly believe that whatever comes to us is from Allah Ta'ala. And whatever comes to anyone, it is from Allah Ta'ala. Now, if a person is receiving plentiful, abundant, but he is spending it in the casinos, discos, cinemas, theaters, zina, and all the other haram shows, then what must we be jealous of that person? Do we want that kind of wealth and go to Jahannam? And if a person has got good wealth, and is spending it also correctly, then why be jealous of him? Why don't we seek also the same thing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? It is in his hands. Rizq and sustenance, it is in strange ways that Allah ta'ala provides. So many friends are jealous. And mostly you will find that in the same people of the same profession will be jealous of the person in that profession. You won't find a butcher being very jealous of a doctor, although both of them slice. Both of them do cutting, slicing, chipping, chopping. But he won't be jealous of that. The business person will be jealous of the business person. The alim will be jealous of the alim. The qari will be jealous of another qari. What is this jealousy going to lead us to? Will we be able to snatch away from the other person everything that he possesses? Why not turn towards that Allah, who is the one who has blessed the others? Ask him, he will open the doors. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and give the ummah the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na nuri hai, na nari hai. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and also around the world where mankind is suffering, whether it's due to drought or famine or AIDS or anything else, we must make dua, ya Allah, remove those difficulties, those balas and those problems. Inshallah we'll continue if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and the opportunity next week. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.